This is Pastor Sandy, and we are ready for our, what number class is this, Pastor Ben?
Number 22.
22. So we are ready for our 22nd class. Wow. We have come far. We have only had one test. And believe me, I'm trying to get us prepared for the second test. I went over the second test today, and we are not prepared. But I think in this week and next week, we should be have enough material for you to go ahead and take that test. I want people to pass, and I don't want to give you the test before you have the material that you can go back and research and get a decent grade. So we are going to continue today on the Esther story, or what we call the Hosea, Esther, and Germany connection. And I'm going to emphasize that these are the one of these Bible lessons that God taught me and wants me to teach in this class, because this is one of the lessons the Lord felt like every people really need to know this. Because if you don't understand this, you're not going to understand the Holocaust. You're not going to understand how 1948 happened, why 1948 is so important, why we must love the Jews. I don't understand. I know the world teaches you to hate Jews. And some Christians, after they become Christians, start hating Jews because they feel like, oh, they crucified our Lord. And then but when you have these type of misunderstandings, it's because you haven't studied the word and you don't know God's plan. So if you understand God's plan, you can really understand what he's doing in the world and why 1948 is so important. My friend Gordon Kissinger sent me that tag last night, and I don't know if he is Jewish or Messianic Jewish. Or if he's just a Gentile who is practicing Messianic, I want to make one thing clear. I absolutely love the Jewish people for being a servant to God for us. I absolutely love the fact that Jews are beginning to find Messiah. Okay, and I love that Gentiles are beginning to find the root of Hebrew in their relationship with God. Because I always believed that the Jews have half the story and they don't want to read the New Testament. So they only get half the story. And I believe that the Christians read the New Testament, but they don't understand the Old Testament. So they have half the story. So if we could get Jews and Gentiles to come in and bring their stories together, we can find typologies, we can find truth and prophecy, we can find all of these things. So the problem with becoming, when you start learning the Hebrew, is then you start trying to say, I want to explain this. You can say, I want to keep the feast days. Because you've accepted Christ, you are more than allowed to by God to keep the feast days. Why? Because you're now kadosh, okay? You're a holy person, so you can keep God's feast days. We know that it won't make us saved because we believe in Yeshua, and by grace through Yeshua, we have been saved, okay? But Jewish people, when they accept Messiah Yeshua, they want to continue keeping their feast days. The problem with being Jewish is this. They don't want to accept Christ because they think it's going to make them not be Jewish anymore. And it's not going to not make you Jewish. You still get to keep the Passover. The Sabbath is a continual generation to generation covenant between God and the Jewish people. And this is how God was able to keep the Jewish people distinct from all other people, no matter where they lived in the world. They knew when the Sabbath came that it was time to meet. So it kept the Jewish people very distinct from the rest of the world. The seven feast days were given to the Jews, but God said, they're my feast days, but I'm giving them to you to practice them as a rehearsal until I fulfill all of these feast days, right? So, keeping the feast days, they're doing it, and that's a covenant between God and them. If they accept Yeshua, they can still keep their feast days. And they should still keep their feast days. The problem is their feast days and that stuff doesn't save them. Okay, now, if you are a Gentile and you accept Messiah, you can also keep the feast days. You can also keep the Sabbath. You just can't. Is not a covenant between you and God. And you can't make other Christians feel bad because they don't keep it. But if you can teach it to them and help them and get them off of Easter and get them off of Halloween. Mm-hmm. A church asked me to preach, to come speak at their church at Halloween. When I got to the church, there was so much Halloween decorations at the church, I didn't even walk in. I just drove off and I called him and I said, I'm sorry, I can't speak there. Because I said, I just couldn't do it. I said, if something's wrong that you got, you know, skeletons and blood dripping from skulls and all on the front door of a church. But what Hebrew tells us is that, look, God has his own holidays and feast days that he wants us to keep. And we've got to recognize that these other holidays did not come from God. Where did they come from? They're pretty much pagan. Even the one that is the least pagan of all of them, which is Christmas, they just kind of distorted. But you have to know what part they distorted and what part is real, because Messiah and December 25th comes together perfectly as being conception, but it is not his birth, okay? So anyway, I wanted to explain my stand on Messianic Judaism. I love it, absolutely love it. And my stand on Gentiles coming into Messianic understanding and intelligence, because it makes us go, you know what, I'm going to keep Passover instead of Easter, since I don't worship the goddess Easter, you know. And you know that there are only two people, Pastor Ben, that worship, that still celebrate Easter. Witches and Christians. Isn't that crazy?
Crazy.
The only two people, Satanists love Easter too, but witches and Christians love Easter. And they celebrate it the same way, with the eggs, finding the eggs, the exact same way. And so you got to understand, why do we have this great thing in common with witches on Easter, you know? Because I can send you videos of witches just painting their eggs and getting ready to celebrate Easter's birthday and Easter's eggs, and, you know, and celebrating this goddess of lust and child sacrifice. And we don't know it. And I used to, you know, celebrate Easter too. But now that I've come into some knowledge, I understand, okay, that's one that I got to drop completely, you know.
They don't know what the eggs are about.
Yeah, they don't know. They have no one knows, because, you know, we're the other half. We're raised in New Testament. They're raised in Old Testament. We never get to understanding that the Passover has nothing to do with Easter. Yeah, but I don't know. Here we go. I need to pray, because we need to go over this understanding of 1948 and how Easter, how 1948 came about, and we need to understand how God has orchestrated that holy event to bring Israel back into the land to start the last 70 years of existence in the world, okay, for the believers. Yes.
Pastor Sandy, I'm sorry. Dory mm-hmm. G.
Yes.
Said, so if the church you attend celebrates Easter,
mm-hmm.
you shouldn't be attending it? Question.
I would not attend an Easter service that incorporates finding eggs, if they're decorated with finding eggs and bunny rabbits. The rabbit is a constellation in the star. It's called Lupus, which means the enemy of God. So Satan didn't choose the rabbit for no reason. It means this is the enemy of God. So Satan chose. There's a star constellation, like you have the constellation of a lamb. There is a star constellation of a rabbit named Lupus, or Lupus, which means the enemy of God. Okay, and so that is the enemy that is fighting against God, going forth, back and forth, to and forth, fighting against God, and it's represented by a rabbit. Okay, and so Satan chose that for Easter because Easter was the goddess that they. Now, if I go into a church and I see eggs and stuff, you're responsible for what you know. Okay, now it's not our responsibility to go in there and yell at everybody. But you can, I have the information. If you want it, we can get it to you. You can hand it to them and say, why do we still celebrate Easter here when we know that this is a pagan holiday? Why don't we celebrate Christ's resurrection instead of the eggs and the bunny rabbits and the baskets and all this stuff?
Please tell them what the egg stands for.
The egg stands for the children that are born during this time of lust, that those eggs are then taken to Easter to be sacrificed as sacrifices to the goddess Easter. So understand where that whole pagan ritual comes from, and understand that witches still celebrate that holiday, okay? So what we're learning is absolutely incredible. These people, I'm going to turn that off. Okay, so what we're learning here is the other half of what we're supposed to know as Christians so that we can walk before God perfectly, okay? Now, here we go. And when I say perfectly, I mean in maturity, okay? So, let's pray. We didn't even pray yet, huh? Somebody asked a question, and I was like, did I pray? Oh, my goodness. Okay, let's pray the Lord's Prayer, okay? And the Lord's Prayer is for all Christians. It's for everybody. It is not because the guy taught that. Yeah, the Lord's Prayer is for the Jews. It's not for a Christian.
Really?
Yeah. Here we go. Okay. Hallelujah. First of all, I need you to help me to focus on you today, Father God. Avanu Shaba Shabaim Yid Kadesh Shemcha Tavo Melchotecha Yase Rotzanecha Be'aretz Ki Asher Ne'asa B'Shamaim Telano Hayom Lechem Hukeno Uselach Lanu Et Ashmitenu Solechem Nachnu Le'Asher Atmilanu V'Al Tevienu L'Demasa Ke'im Hatilanu Mirhara Hilacha Hamamlacha V'Hagivra Hatif Eret Leolame Leolamim Amen Beshem Yeshua Hamashiach Anachnu Tefillim. And let's get started today. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, last week we went over, we're starting in the book of Hosea because I wanted you to know that Hosea, let me give you the typologies in Hosea. Hosea is representing Israel. Okay, in one typology, Hosea is representing Israel. And Gomer is representing Germany. That's in one typology. In the other typology, Gomer is representing Israel because Gomer is the unfaithful wife that becomes a prostitute. And Hosea then represents God because Hosea has to forgive her and go back and repurchase her out of slavery or out of prostitution. So it's about an unfaithful bride. It's about a Israel, Hosea being Israel, and then Germany, then Gomer being Germany, Israel marrying Germany. You understand? Did Israel marry Germany? Yes. Israel definitely married Germany. When they settled into Germany, they incorporated the whole culture of the German people, right? Did they keep the Sabbath? Yes, because they know that that is a covenant between them and God. Did the Germans know that there were Jews there? Yes, but it wasn't a problem for quite some time until Hitler came into office, okay? So we have to understand that Israel married Germany, okay? Gomer, Hosea, Jewish, marriage. You understand? So now they're married, and then God wants you to know that in this marriage, something's going to happen. What's going to happen? I'm going to tell you what your children's names are going to be, okay? First Jezreel, because I'm going to save you in the valley of Jezreel. But in Germany, you're going to be called, here it is, Lo Ruama, your first child. He said, name Lo Ruama. What does that mean? No mercy. So in Germany, there'll be no mercy. And your second child is going to be called Lo Amin, which means not my people. So in Germany, there'll be no mercy. You're not my people. This is where you're going to be punished. But don't worry, because that other the other thing, child, is Jezreel. And he says, later in Jezreel, and Jezreel is what? Armageddon. Jezreel is the valley of Megiddo. In Jezreel, he says, I'm going to forgive you and call you my wife again. Okay? And the people that I said are not my people, I will call you my people. Okay? And I will have mercy upon you, and I will call you my people. And he says, even I'm going to call you my wife. Okay? So God is going to forgive Israel, but they're going to go through something where? In Gomer. That's no mercy. And what is it? You're not going to be my people, because you're going to marry Gomer. You're going to marry Germany. Okay? Now, let's go through this. We went through this already, okay? And today, because what this is called in page 19 of your book, in page 19 of your book, what this is called is Hosea, right? It's called Hosea, Esther, and the Germany Connection, okay? I wanted you to see the beauty of how God orchestrated this whole thing, okay? So they end up in Germany, okay? All of these Jews end up in Germany. This is the settlement of Germans, Germany, Russia, European area, right? And they end up in Germany. Now, Hitler comes into effect in 1933, his inauguration, okay? And all that happened because of World War I in 1914. That's a whole nother story, so I don't want to get too deep into that. Let's keep going here. Let me see what page I want you to be at. Lo Amini, Lo Ruama. We explained to you that God blinded Israel. Did we explain that? God blinded Israel, but that does not mean that he's not going to keep his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because we realized in Romans 11:25 that God says he has not given up on his people. And those that are Christians need to understand this and not be foolish about this, that he has not given up on them, that he is going to forgive them, and he's going to come back and he's going to rescue them. Okay? Go to page 21 in your book. And we're going to see what happened in Germany, okay? Because we're reading, on page 21, we're reading this scripture from Exodus chapter 4, verse 22.
And it says, then you shall say to Pharaoh, God is speaking to Moses, you shall say to Pharaoh, thus said the Lord, Israel is my first son, my firstborn. So he says to Pharaoh to tell him to let my first son go, Israel. Okay, so Israel is the first son of God. But in John chapter 3, verse 16, we have God saying, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Okay, so you have both being sons, and now both are going to play out the same typology. Understand this, okay? Because now in Germany, the number of Jews that are killed is one third. On the cross with Jesus Christ, one third of the Godhead experienced death. Okay? So he's doing a typology with both sons, the ones in Egypt and the one on the cross. One third is going to experience death. Okay? This is God's typology of this. Okay? Now, I pulled up this article and it said the Holocaust, also called Hashoah in Hebrew, refers to the period from January 1930, when Adolf Hitler became Chancellor of Germany, to May 8, 1945, when the war in Europe officially ended. Okay, so that's 6 years. How many days did it take God to create the world? 6 days. So that means there's a completion there. How many times did they march around Jericho before it fell? 6 times, but on the 7th day it fell. Okay, in Ruth he gives her 6 barleys because 6 is the number of completion. So this 6 years represented the completion. How many years are supposed to be before the millennial starts? 6,000 years, then the 7,000th is the rest. So from 1933 to 1939, which is when the killing started, to 1945 was the period of the Holocaust, okay? 33 is when he came into power, but the Holocaust did not start until 1939 to 1945. Okay, I am on page 21 in the workbook. Okay, and I'm reading the yellow portion, which I pulled from an article. Okay, from the Palestinian Post. Okay, and then okay, so it says, during this time, the Jews in Europe were subject to progressively harsher persecution and ultimately led to the murder of 6 million Jews, okay? 1.5 of these being children, and the destruction of 5,000 Jewish communities. These deaths represent two-thirds of the Jewry and one-third of all Jewry in the whole world. So one-third of all the Jews in the whole world were killed, okay? Okay, and it says, so in 1945 to 1948, because now the killing's over, and God, the killing is over in 1945. God has already promised the Jewish people that they are going to be returned to their land in 1948. He's already prophesied it. So this being over with in 1945, the killing being over with in 1945, now they have to do the same thing that Jesus did. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he was in the cross for 1, 2, 3 days. Then he rose up and there he was walking in Israel once again. The Jews, one third dies, 1945, 46, 47,
48. 3 years later, they resurrect and they're back in the land. So God is doing this typology. This is like strange stuff that he's saying, okay, it's going to let this, the killing's going to last for 6 years. It'll be over with once the death happens. We got to let them not be in the land for 3 days because it's representing Christ. And they have to not be in the land for 1, 2, 3 years, a day representing a year. And now they're going to be back in the land. They're going to be resurrected. And it's going to be just like Christ. Watch, it's going to be beautiful. Stand by, you angels, and watch what I do here. Right? So he does this incredible, because I want you to know that God is controlling time, okay? I'm going to take this off because it's blocking my mic. That God is controlling time and events, okay? So now here we are in the last of this from 1948 to 2018, and we're at the 70th year. And I'm trying to tell people to stay ready and be ready. Stay in your word. Don't slip back into the world, because Satan is always trying to get us to be complacent about our walk, because he knows once this trumpet blows, we're gone and we're done. And God has already promised, if you don't have oil, you're not going to be part of the ones that go into the wedding feast. If you're lukewarm, you're not going to be part of the ones that go into the wedding feast. If you don't have the garment that was issued to you, you're not going to be able to go into the wedding feast. So God is warning us all the time that the requirement for the wedding feast is a bride that is ready when it's time to go.
Yeah.
Okay? So now, as we understand that, we get to the book of Esther, because now Esther is another prophecy that deals with this time period. What time period? The time period of the Holocaust. Esther is a understanding of what's going to happen during the Holocaust. And what happens in the book of Esther? Let's go to page 22, because I'm going to see. Okay, this, here we are. This, I'm going to talk to you before we get into this. So, Esther is this beautiful bride. God had a bride, or the king had a bride, but he had to get another bride because his bride was disobedient. So he chooses another bride. Okay, that's... There's a guy named Haman that has a plot to kill every Jew, not just every Jew where he's living. He wanted every Jew killed in every province that was underneath this king, and he was ruler over the whole world. So Haman his desire was to kill every Jew in the whole world. Okay? Now, his plan gets foiled. He builds it because of Mordecai, right? His plan gets foiled because of Mordecai and this new bride, Esther, okay? Now, when it is time to rescue Israel, now it comes this time that Haman's plan gets foiled. Now, once God kills Haman, and Haman is representing who? Hitler. Haman is representing Hitler. He wants every Jew killed. Now, it gets foiled, but Haman just happens to have 10 sons. And the king asks Esther, what else do you want done? Haman is dead. What else do you want done? And she says, hang his 10 sons on the gallows, right? So he does this. He takes all 10 of these sons and he has gallows built and he hangs them all on gallows. And so you got the 10 sons of Haman being hung. Okay? Now, I teach you this because this is a great part about learning Hebrew. As you're reading Hebrew, there are jots and tittles all through Hebrew, okay? Sometimes you'll get a letter written upside down. Then you'll come to the end and it's written right side up. like the letter Nun. And one, it represents life. It's talking about the resurrection of Christ. But at the beginning, God writes the letter upside down. You go, oh, look, somebody made a mistake. They wrote the letter upside down. But remember, nobody can change the Torah after God wrote it. You understand? When they scribe it, it has to be exactly like the other ones, or else they burn it. So they continue to write that Nun upside down. But at the end of that verse, the Nun is written right side up because of the resurrection has happened, right? So God has all these jots and tittles inside of Scripture. In this Esther thing, as in chapter 9, verse 7 through 11, we find a list of the 10 sons of Haman who were killed and hung on the gallows, okay? And so it gives you the 10 names, and I put it here with the letters in red so that you could see these letters, okay? And what it's saying here is this. It says Tav, Shin, Zion, okay? And I wrote it Shin, Tav, Zion. Okay, but I'll rewrite that. Tav, Shin, Zion. And then it has the Vav, which is written very big to let you know this is going to happen in the sixth millennium, right? So this puts this in 1900, okay? So he is letting you know in this time, at this time period, in the year 707, okay? So 5707 is going to be the year what? Why would God put that year right in the jots and tittles of the name of these 10 sons? Because he wants you to know that this event, what you're seeing with Haman's 10 sons being hung, is going to happen again in the future, and you're going to see this same 10 hangings in 5707 in that particular year. Now, we'll go over here, and I want to show us something, because God is precise, okay? And if you get this, I'm going to pray right now. Father God, in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, I pray that they understand this and that you give them a revelation knowledge of your wisdom and your preciseness of how you bring about prophecy. Okay? So now, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to switch these two letters because it's only right. I'm going to put the Tav here and I'm going to put the Shin here. Okay? Now that's, of course, 300, and that's 400, and that's 7. So that's 707, right? Okay, and this would be that year, because you go 0, 1, you know, that year is 1, then the next is 2, okay? So it's a 6, but it's really that 5, right? Okay, now, so he gives us this year. And he says this is going to happen in 5707. Okay, now, the year for 5707 is 1947. The year for 5708 is 1948. And the 5708 number is that scripture in Deuteronomy says that they're going to return to the land in 5708. So God knew 1948 way back to Deuteronomy 30 verse 5, which is this number in the Torah, right? That number verse in the Torah. So God knew about 1940, but 5708 represents the year. Now, we knew when it was 2017, that was the year 5777. Okay? Now what year is it? It's 5778. Okay? Now, when did it turn to 5778? Okay? Now, this is what I need to teach you. Okay. The Jews don't keep the Nisan to Nisan year. When does their year start? At Tishri, that's in September. So once September comes, they change this number to the next according number. So what we had when we had 2017, we had, it was 5777. When did it change to 5778? In September. Okay. So in September, it turned to Rosh Hashanah. So then it turned to 5778. Now, does that change ours? No, because we keep 2017 till December, because we're on this Gregorian thing. Okay, but they changed theirs in September. So now, this is what we have to look at here. The event of Hitler's 10 henchmen getting hung happened in 1946 on our calendar. Okay, so 1946 would be 5706. Why did God prophesy that it's going to happen in 5707? Because he knew that the event would happen after September. So it was 5706 till September. Then it turned to 5707, and now, but it's still 1946, so that's correct. But the prophecy that Esther gives is going to happen in 5707. That means God knew it was going to happen after September.
Wow.
And it happened in October on 5707. God anticipated that it would happen after Rosh Hashanah. That's being precise. Okay? So, once you understand that, you go, okay, I have a God that created a nation and chose a people 5,000-6,000 years ago, and he promised them a land called Israel. And he put them in that land, and he promised them that they were going to come back in that land in 5708, which is 1948, and they did. And these people have been the top of the news since the beginning of the history of mankind. And here we are in 2017, a president says that Jerusalem belongs to him and the whole world goes crazy. What is it about these people that Satan hates so much that they stay in the news all this time? Okay? And so now, what happens here? Yeah, that's still good. What happens here? In 5707, 1946, Hitler dies, just like Haman. After Hitler dies, they have a hearing, and it's called the Nuremberg Trials, okay? In the Nuremberg Trials, they brought forth Haman's 10 top henchmen who was helping him kill these Jews, and they hung all 10 of them. Now, when they hung all 10, it's on YouTube. The trial is on YouTube. When they grab the last one, he says, Purim Feast, 1946. He yells out Purim Feast. What made him yell out Purim Feast? Because the Purim Feast is what Esther, the book of Esther, is all about. That's when the Purim Feast began, because the Purim Feast was to celebrate the rescue of the Jewish people. This guy's about to get hung and he yells out Purim Feast. And he's not Jewish, he's German. So God is like, I'm controlling time, I'm controlling events, and I'm letting you know 1933 happened because I said it would. Okay. He became chancellor. 1939 to 1949 is a Holocaust, and it happened 6 years. Once that Holocaust is over and a third of God's people have died, it's going to take 3 years for them to resurrect and be back in the land. It's going to take the Messiah 3 days before he resurrects and he's back in the land. Okay? So, God controlled all of this time to give you the same story. And so now when you look at the Holocaust, in, I'm going to try to find the scripture, and I believe it is Isaiah chapter 40, because God thanks, is, he says, "Your thank you for your service."
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, what do you mean, thank you for your service? Your great service, God is going to say to them, is over now. Now I'm going to give you, for ashes, I'm going to give you flowers. And for this, I'm going to, he says, now I'm going to reward you for your service. So when you understand that Israel is in service to God to help bring the whole world into salvation with Messiah. You understand? So they're in service. They're doing something. Why would God blind them? Why would God blind a whole nation of people who he says he loves them and they're the apple of his eyes, but blind them so that they don't know the truth about Yeshua when he comes? Because if they know it, they might repent and turn to him and be saved. And I don't want this. So blind them. And Isaiah says, how long? This is incredible. I understand this. This is why whenever I see Jewish people, I'm very kind to them. I don't know if they've had relatives that died in the Holocaust. This synagogue that I went to had many Holocaust survivors there who still had what were very proud to show you their tattoo that they got during the Holocaust when they were in camps. Okay, so this event was a real event. You had people that when I was going to the synagogue that could sit there and talk to you about the horrors of this Holocaust. Okay, and of course, we now know the word Holocaust is a Jewish word that means a sacrifice. And they were sacrificed, one third. And on the cross, 2,000 years ago, was a Holocaust. It was the sacrifice. And that was Yeshua. And 3 days back on the land, 3 years back on the land. Same thing God is doing, okay? I hope you guys understand. Let me see if I can read this. Together with all mankind. No, I don't see it. Speak tenderly to them, complete. No, I don't see it. So I'm not going to try to sit here and find it all day and bore you. Okay. So I hope you understand that. This whole study, okay? That's what I wanted to show you to complete that study today, because this is the pivotal time of history of the world, was the Holocaust, okay? If you go to page 23 in your book, and we'll read that, and then we'll talk about us, our upcoming tests that I still have to prepare you for. Okay, now here it says in top, using the Jewish methods of recording years, the number 707 represents the year 5707, which of course we know was in 1946, but actually 1946 after September, right? And it says, as shown, not 5707 equals 1946 on the Jewish calendar was the year that the 10 Nazi war criminals were hanged for their crime of attempting to eradicate the Jewish people. For centuries, Jews read the book of Esther had the future date
for the fulfillment of the prophecy there in plain sight, but it could not be deciphered until the event actually occurred. So that date was hanging in the book of Esther every year, letting you know that that event was going to happen again. Okay? God, this is one of the 17 Bible studies that God wanted me to teach in this school, because the more people that have understanding of this are going to understand why Israel is the center of all news. They're going to understand why God says to pray for Israel, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, you know. And that is the book here, the end of that here. If you, I think the trials that are on YouTube too are in German, but you can definitely watch the trial on YouTube. Okay, all right. Now, where is the test? I wanted to talk to you guys about the test. Okay. Now, the test has information. Of course, you know you'll have to write the 22 letters. Then you'll have to understand all the information about Joseph, okay? And you'll have to know the information about Bereshit, because we gave you that, okay? That particular study. The book of Esther and Hosea and the Holocaust is also on this test, okay? One other thing is on this test is the three important dates of the Exodus that are also the three important dates of Christ's entry into Jerusalem and his sacrifice and the 17th of Nisan. Did we go through that, Pastor Ben? We didn't go through that. Well, that's what I'm going to do next week, okay? So you'll understand the 10, 14, 17, three most important dates on God's calendar when it comes to leaving Egypt, the sacrificing the lamb, and crossing over into the new land, okay? Hebrew, the in Hebrew, there are, oh God. Oh, we have to talk about, see, this is another thing. This is why I can't give you the test. We have to talk about the proof of the Trinity.
Oh yeah.
Because we have to know the proof of the Trinity. And then Moses reflects the life of Jesus in typologies. I haven't gone over the Moses study with you yet. This is why I'm trying to explain to you why the second test, you're really not ready for it. I thought that you were ready for it, but we didn't have a middle test. And then, so this is the second test, and there's a lot of information we haven't gone over. Moses, what Ararat is and what Ararat means, what happened and when, what date Mount Ararat happened on, how many people were on the ark. You know that, but then the whole Hitler thing is also in here. And so I have the test, it's already prepared, but I know I haven't given you all the information. So what I do want you to do is, and I will love the first person that finishes section one, okay? This is our biblical Hebrew book. Okay.
Is that the last one we sent out?
This is the last one we sent out, the biblical Hebrew book. This is going to help us begin to learn biblical Hebrew. Okay. Now, I hope you have gone over your number seven conversation in our other booklet that we gave you, because, you know, I realize that in ani rotze lemer ivrit ani tergel hakozman. If I want to learn Hebrew, I have to toragel, I have to practice all the time. Okay, so by chili, I ne toragel ivrit,
Bebuker, Be'erev, Lifnei Anei, Lashan. Before I go to sleep, I'm still going to try to be studying a little bit of Hebrew in the morning, in the evening, and a little bit before I go to sleep. So learning Hebrew can't be on this class because this is not going to do it. You have to take the time and go into the book and say, I'm going to go through this and learn a little bit more about Hebrew. And then now what you have is that you have someone to guide you if you have a problem that could say, no, this is why. Okay, this is how you write this. Okay, so in our booklet, and this is our booklet. Okay. Yes, the last book we sent out. By next Thursday, I want you to finish. I want you to look at page 3, okay? Page 3, page 4, and page 5. Write all of those, write these out, write all of these Hebrews. You can write them out and do this, okay? You can write them out and do this. And answer the questions, okay? So what? This is what I'm going to do, right? I'm going to come to here, and it says, we have so far learned that El and Elohim are two forms for the word God. El is God. Elohim is God, okay? Now, we also know that Adonai in Hebrew is for the word Lord, okay? There are two additional words which read Adonai, although their literal pronunciations are different. One of these words, which is familiar, is if you put two yods together, because that's how the Jews do it, because they're not allowed to work to write the word yod, hey, vav, hey. They can't write it. So they write yod, yod, and that means yod, hey, vav, hey, Adonai, okay, or Lord. So now, and the other one is Yod Heh Vav Heh, which is Yahweh, or what they say, Yehovah, okay, is the literal pronunciation of the word. And however, never pronounced that way in Hebrew, and is not pronounced that. It's pronounced Yahweh in Hebrew, because I don't know where they put the Degesh O in there, but it's pronounced Yahweh in Hebrew, okay? And which is, however, to pronounce in Hebrew, and like the double yad yad, which also pronounces Yahweh. Okay, you write that out, okay? Because I want you to write, understand Elohim, and I want you to understand Adonai, and that percent. Then down here you have the days. Yom Aleph, Yom Bet, Yom Gimel. What are those days called? Yom Rishon, Yom Shani, Yom Shiloshi, Yom Arba, Yom Chamesh, Yom Shishi, and Shabbat. I want you to write those out in the Hebrew form here, and write it out as what the days are in Hebrew or in English. But I need you to know. I need to know that you know that it's Yom, like Sunday is Yom Yashon. Okay. Now, the last one is, the last one will be page 4, okay? And then you'll write out page 4, and you'll answer this as best you can. If you don't understand something, email me and say, I don't understand this page, could you go through it with me? And I'll go through it with you. But I want you to try to figure it out as you're reading it, and look up the information and find out how, because it's simple, it's leading you to it. To give you information, like here it says, here's how to ask God to listen to our prayers, and it says Sma Kolenu, okay, Kolenu is our listen to us, okay, hear our prayer, okay. Anyway, try to finish page 3, page 4, and page 5. Okay, and let me know where you are by next Thursday. If you can send me something to show where you are, that'll be awesome, because you're going to start learning some things, and I'll go over it with you. Kolenu is ours. The Yod is I. Okay, and we're done on time, huh, Pastor? Okay, so that is it. And we will see you next week here in our Hebrew class. And I hope you have time to go over page 3, 4, and 5 in this book. You can write it out and send me what you have, okay? And you will get credit. Now, the way we did this in our class that has already graduated is when you turn in a homework assignment, we give you credit for that homework assignment. So if you miss a question on your exam, you'll get credit for the homeworks that you turned in, and it may give you additional 3 points, which may make you over a C plus to a B, okay? All right, so I hope you guys enjoyed our little talk today, because I believe that the pivotal point in world history was 1900s, and then 1917 all the way to 1948, 1967, and here we are at the 70th year, and I'm waiting to go home. I just want to go home. I will give you a certificate in heaven if God let me, but I would love not to be able to finish this class, and then, you know, maybe an angel or Jesus will help us once we get there. So praise God. Thank you for being in class today. I love you. Love Hebrew. Don't let anyone tell you that understanding Hebrew and Messianic Judaism is wrong, or celebrating the Shabbat is wrong. You can celebrate the Shabbat if you want. It just won't save you, okay? And you can't judge someone else if they work on Saturday and they say, you know, but I do worship on Sunday. Because then all you got to do is read Romans chapter 14, and it says one man esteems the day over this way and one man esteems the day that way. But it says you do not judge them in the day that they praise God, because we're in the new covenant, right? Okay, so that is it. We will see you Shavua Haba. All right. Oh, I forgot to pray out, huh? Shalom, everybody.